Well, we have got a world exclusive this afternoon on the Friday afternoon show with Chip and Spud.
Yeah, we have.
We've got an amazing person here with us, and he's going to tell us all about the Coast Guard Association. So, welcome, Dave, Mr. David Ilsley. And
welcome, Uncle Dave. My own uncle.
Thank you.
We should just say that Dave is a relative and is Chip's uncle. But you've come over to stay with us for a few days, Dave, and we'd just like to know a little bit more about the Coast Guard Association. First of all, why did you join it in the first place?
Well, the Coast Guard Association is a registered charity that looks after the welfare of Coast Guards serving or retired. Now, I must stress here, not that Her Majesty's Coast Guard doesn't look after their Coast Guards, but we deal with the things that fall outside the sphere of day-to-day Coast Guard operations.
So, really, you're in support of the Coast Guard themselves, but you provide support to families of perhaps retired Coast Guards and serving Coast Guards as well. So, what kind of things do you do to help and support them?
Well, you're quite right. I mean, we, our slogan says, the Coast Guard Association, serving Coast Guards in distress or despair. And that little sentence really sums it up. We look after serving Coast Guards, retired Coast Guards, and indeed families of Coast Guards. And we give out, not always financial aid, it's not always about finance. There can be moral support, practical support, and, you know, we've got a pretty good record of support in the Coast Guards, and we do get a lot of support from HM Coast Guard because they know they're aware of the good work that we do.
Well, that's it, really. I mean, you have to work together to do the best for the people who are actually working in the Coast Guard itself. How many members have you got in the organisation?
Well, the way it's split up, we encourage individual stations to have their own membership, and we call it a branch. So the average number of people in a Coast Guard station is 14, and we encourage them to set up the branch, you know, with the chairman, treasurer, secretary, a couple of, committee members. And we've got upwards of 50-odd branches throughout the country. But if we get a situation where not everybody at the station wants to join the branch, or an individual Coast Guard wants to join, we have what's called Central Branch. Now, Central Branch looks after any Coast Guard, serving or retired, throughout the country.
So where are they based then, Dave? Where's the sort of main Coast Guard Association offices, or doesn't it work like that?
No, we obviously have registered offices, which is at the home of the chairman, and that's near Louth in Lincolnshire.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, I mean, it's very interesting, really, and you touched on a little bit there about the kind of support that you can give. It's not just about financial support. People could be having financial problems, but also other issues, personal issues within their family, going through all sorts of different trauma. And actually, being in that job itself, sometimes you can come across really dramatic situations where it can affect mental health. So have you got some experience of people that may have been affected in that way?
Yeah, we've got lots of experience in that. I mean, just to give you a sort of brief incident, the sort of things we would do, we've paid for quite a few funerals where the member of the Coast Guard Association hasn't been insured. We've got a couple, 23, 24 years old, who thinks of life insurance at that stage. We've paid for ex-Coast Guards to have therapy. We've got one that lives in Pembrokeshire, and he hasn't left the house for the best part of 16 years. And he approached us for some help. So we paid for a therapist to go actually around to his home and assist him. We bought mobility scooters that we've helped coast guards that have maybe a marriage split up or something like that, found themselves out on the street, and, you know, and they don't have the deposit for a flat. We've helped in that direction as well.
Well, you've just given an example there, Dave, of somebody who obviously had a very difficult situation to deal with, and to stay, you know, at home and not being able to go out for that length of time, it must be really difficult, not just for him, but for his family.
We were talking about the people we help and what we do for them. I mean, obviously, you know, under our charter, we can only help Coast Guards, ex-Coast Guards, or close family members. So, I mean, effectively, the charity was founded by Coast Guards, managed by Coast Guards, for the benefit of Coast Guards. I mean, it was founded by a gentleman called John Douglas, who in 1976 was the chief Coast Guard at the time, and he lived on the Isle of Man. And there was an inaugural meeting to set the association up in Southport, which obviously is Liverpool and up a bit. And we've still got one of the founder members, Terry Bearpark, who's our vice chairman. He's been a member for 44 years. And like I say, he was one of the founder members. I mean, we've got a committee that consists of, obviously, chairman, Stuart Arundel, also known as El Supremo. Terry Bearpark is the vice chairman. We have a welfare officer called Paul Davig. Now, interestingly enough, before he had the job, his father done the job, and he was called the almoner, which is a really old-fashioned word for what is today's welfare officer. And Paul will make recommendations to the committee for the amount of financial help or any other help that he feels that we can give. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't want his job. I mean, I help him sometimes and, you know, visit people and find out what's going on the phone or what have you, but, you know, I'd probably open my checkbook and sign it there and then. And, of course, that's not what it's all about. We've got a gentleman called Alan Fisher, who is the treasurer. Now, he was a serving Coast Guard station officer, and he's our treasurer today, and he's also the launch authority, which in effect is the boss of the Arnoloy lifeboat station in Skegness.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. A lady called Anne Bell is our secretary. And, you know, I did refer earlier on to what we call Central Branch, which obviously has got hundreds of members and takes a lot of looking after. And that's done by a young lady called Joe Howard. I used to be the minister with that portfolio, but I've recently temporarily slipped into the position of public relations. And they're all dedicated people. You know, they live it, breathe it, sleep it. And, you know, I'm very proud and honoured to work with such a wonderful committee. And in fact, I think we hold the record for the quickest payout, because once we're aware of a situation or somebody asks us for help, then it'll go through to Paul Davig. He will assess the situation, discuss it with another committee member, or usually the vice chairman or the chairman, and if it's agreed upon, we have a check out to the relevant person within a couple of days. So we act pretty quick.
Well, Dave, we mentioned about the financial problems, and you've just been talking about that there. And there are a lot of people at the moment with financial issues, and we've talked about other organisations like Step Change, for instance, who actually provide support for people who are having financial problems. And I think that, Step Change and other organisations, they're quite good at actually relieving some of the pressure. And I guess that's something that you could also guide people to as well.
Well, that's correct. I wish we had a big enough bank balance to solve all the Coast Guard's financial problems, but we don't. But if we give them money, we'll generally follow that up with saying, look, it's not as desperate as it sounds. There are other organisations that can help you. Since you quite rightly say, Step Change is one of the leading ones, and I think there's also the Christian organisations that do the same sort of job. Yeah. And that's what we will recommend to our members or the people that we're helping.
Yeah. Interestingly, Dave, you are actually a former Coast Guard yourself.
Oh, that's correct.
And, you served in the Coast Guard station at Burnham-on-Sea.
You
have. For quite some time. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience was working for the Coast Guard?
Like I say, everybody, all the committee of the Coast Guard Association are either serving or ex-Coast Guards. And I was a Coast Guard in Burnham-on-Sea for 12 years. The story goes, I unfortunately lost my dear late wife, Premna, to cancer, and the devastation was total. And then I saw an advert that said Coast Guards needed, must live within a mile of the Coast Guard station and be available during the day. And I fitted sort of both bits of that criteria. And I was 52 at the time, but I applied and, I did get selected for training. And I still call that job my godsend.
Yeah. Now, you said you didn't like heights. Where I'm coming.
Yeah, well, when I went for the interview, the station officer said, look, I'm not too good at heights. And he said, look, the Coast Guard will not make you do anything you're not happy with. He lied like a cheap watch. No, it weren't happy. I was happy with it once the Coast Guard had given me the training to overcome the fear I have of heights.
Yeah.
And some of it is quite simple. If you stand with your legs apart when you're looking down somewhere, you feel a lot more secure than if you got your legs together. So, and various other techniques.
So how many times have you been down a cliff or dangling off a helicopter rope?
Quite a few, Rob. Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, there's no, as I'm sure a lot of other emergency workers know, there's no better feeling than helping to save somebody's life.
Yeah. Now, you showed me a picture earlier, and it was you, and you were rescuing a whole netball team from the mud.
That one's classified, Rob. However...
Are you sure you want to talk about this?
No, because it was printed in the News of the World.
Oh, so it's public knowledge.
Yeah, so it's public knowledge. We were called to a beach not far away from Burnham-on-Sea, which is Bream Beach, which is opposite Pontins. And a group of young ladies were taking part in a netball competition within Pontins. Of course, then when we drew up, we'd got these eight new boy young ladies stuck in the mud, And, this is going to be heavy going, We did manage to come out in the end, and I said to the organiser, I said, if you don't mind me saying, we've got our signs every 100 yards saying, don't go in the mud. On the road up from the, on the roadway, up from the roadway to the beach, it says the 3 big signs, don't go in the mud. And she said, well, you haven't got any signs in pontins. To which I replied, how many signs do you want? But it was one of, it was one of the more humorous shouts, you know what I mean?
That was one of the questions I was going to ask you. What was one of the most memorable moments? And you've just described one there.
I think another one you mentioned today was there was you were in a caravan making a cup of tea, and it and there was water.
Yeah, yeah, that was a gentleman who was trying to back his rubber boat into the sea using a mobile home with rear-wheel drive on the tyres. So, of course, as he tried to pull out, the inevitable happened, down he went.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, now, I don't know if it's common knowledge, but if you get stuck in the mud with your vehicle in Burnham-on-Sea, what, just about the only way to get out of it is a company called, well, I won't name the company, but a company in Western Supermare will send along a ex-World War II American tow truck with a massive great winch on it. Problem is, it only does about 15 miles an hour, you know, and if the tide gets to the car before the tow truck goes, does, then it's, you know, good night, Vienna.
Yeah.
But this gentleman was lucky in so much that one of the other rescue services close by had a tractor. And they agreed that, you know, they would pull him out. And he did give them a donation. So he was, well, this time he was a bit forlorn. So I said, look, put your, you know, put your camper van next outside the Coast Guard station. I'll make you a cup of tea. You know, Coast Guard tea's bound to cheer you up. So I made the tea and I looked in the fridge, there was no milk. He said, oh, I've got milk in the camper truck. So they opened the door of the camper truck, all this water came pouring out. You know. It was so funny.
Oh, dear.
Because you obviously, you try to remember the cheery ones.
Yes.
You know, like rescuing, you know, young ladies out there, you know, in the mud and yeah. people, because some of them can make you profoundly sad. So it's a happy one as we like to remember.
Yeah, I suppose when you say that there are occasions when, you, despite everything that you do and the fantastic work that you do in the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard Association, there are times when there's some really difficult situations where things don't quite go the way that everyone would hope they would. So, oh. But I think one of the things that you've told us is just the camaraderie between the people who work in the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard Association, mm-hmm. how, you know, you're a band of brothers and sisters, basically.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, the most difficult ones, I'm just being honest here, is always where we lose children.
Yes.
You know, and being mature years, you know, we used to say to the lads in the team, look, we're Coast Guards, we're not gods. Despite all our efforts, it doesn't go our way. Sometimes. You know what I mean? And there are fatalities.
You've given us a bit of an insight, really, to the work of the Coast Guard Association. So people want to find out more about it. What would be the best way for
them to
find
out? Well, the best way would be to go on the website. We do have a website, Coast Guard Association, you know, and that will give you a lot of the history, you know, about what we do and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's quite informative.
Yeah. Well, it's been fantastic, Chip, hasn't it, talking to Dave?
I remember helping out with the Coast Guard Association, doing all the diaries. We sent out a load of diaries together.
That's right, Rob. And we were also, if you remember,
yeah,
we were car park attendants for the Lymington Coast Guard, weren't we?
Yeah.
You know, when they had a big function, and Lymington Coast Guard, I haven't got favourites, you know what I mean, but I have to say, I mean, not only monetary value, but they're one of our best branches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They really give their all and a bit. And, well, we've had some good times with them.
And I also remember, you were over here once and a helicopter landed at Benbridge Airport.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. That was a result of a lady that her baby was in serious difficulties, and the hospital, I mean, or the medical helicopter wasn't available, so the Coast Guard sort of took her across to the hospital, and she worked for Tesco's, and Tesco's ran a collection for the emergency services that helped us, which was not which wasn't only HM Coast Guard, it was the ambulance service, and there was a couple of other emergency services involved. So, but you know, the check presentation, well, you remember.
Yeah.
You know, the helicopter landed, and you know, they got a tour around the helicopter. And I have to say, they were very generous in the donations they gave to all the emergency services involved.
I can say we got in the county press for that.
Yeah. Well, it's been absolutely brilliant talking.
Thank you, Uncle Dave.
Dave, if you're ever back on the island, we've got to catch up, see how things are going with the Coast Guard Association. And it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Been a pleasure talking to you too as well. And thank you for having me on and allowing me to promote the Coast Guard Association.
Anytime,
you're
Uncle
welcome.
Dave.
So thank you very much, Dave.
I hope you're happy with that one, El Supremo.